Don't you just love rainy days? I don't know if you do. I do. There's something about the rain coming down, except for the getting wet part. I don't like that as much, but I love rainy days. And to think, a couple of weeks, a couple of degrees, and this would have been an ice storm. God is good. Why don't we pray together, and then we will read the Bible. God, we come to you right now, and we thank you for being good. When we see you move in nature, we're reminded of your power, whether it's in sunshine or rain or snow or cold or hot, all of the extremes and all the things that you do in nature remind us that you're there, that you're real, that you're powerful, that you love us. So God, I pray that you would show your love to us this morning by speaking to us through your word, that what we read in Galatians would be living and powerful, and that you would touch our hearts with your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as we are studying through the book of Galatians, and we've kind of come to the end of story time. Paul has been telling us some stories about his life and bringing us just, we'll see that they're related to what he's going to talk about now in the rest of the book. But he's been telling us some stories, and we've, for all intents and purposes, gotten to the end of that. So the day we get to what is the big question of the book of Galatians, and this is something you might remember, probably don't, from at the very beginning when we started talking about the book, I said this is something we're going to talk about a lot in this book. And the big question of the book of Galatians is, what makes us good? What makes us good? Why are you good? How can you be good? How good are you? Do you think you're good? If you do, why do you think you're good? If you don't think you're good, why do you think you're not good? How can you prove that you're good? And how can you be better? Being good is being just, being worthy, being someone that you can look in the mirror and say, I approve of that person, not just because it's me, but because I know me and I'm happy with me. Very rarely can we do that, right? Because we know ourselves and we know how not good we are. Being good is being able to stand before other people and not hang our heads, either literally or on the inside. It's kind of fun when two boys, you can do little experiments with them. You know, something happens and then you stand them both up and say, who did that? And it's so neat to see, just read their body language, because sometimes they're just transparent. Like one of them will just hang their head and they won't say anything. It's like, oh, it's you. Being good is being able to stand before others and not feel shame and not feel like, oh, I hope they don't find out or they don't know about or no one knows about. Being good is being able to stand before God. And I think this might be one of the big reasons we fear death so much, because we know inside, whether we believe it or not from the Bible, but there's something in us that tells us, I'm going to stand before my Creator after that moment. And being good is being able to stand before God with confidence. And normally, we base our goodness, how good I am, how good you are, how good I think you are, how good you think I am. We base our goodness on what we do. We base our goodness just by instinct. What makes you good? Well, it's what I do. It's what I don't do. It's a thing. If you remember last week, we saw the story of Peter. Isn't that what Peter did when he was eating with some people and then other people were coming and they were going to think, if you're eating with those people, you're a bad person, so I better change what I'm doing. And so, at least in their eyes, I'll be seen as better. I'll be seen as good. We base what we, by instinct, we base how good we are on what we do. We base it on behaving, on not doing the bad things. Whatever the bad things are for you, we base how good we are on well, that's morals, right? It's not doing bad stuff, whatever that is. We base how good we are on doing good stuff. So you might just be a scoundrel, but you give money away, and you're nice to people. You do really bad things, but you also do really good things, and so you're able to see yourself as good. We base ourselves on not doing bad things, on doing good things, and we base our goodness on the religious things we do. Being part of the right church and doing the right rituals in the right way and fulfilling our religious obligations. The three different places where we base our goodness on, but it all has to do with what we do, with what I do. So what's on your list? What makes you a good person? What are the things that when you do them or you don't do them, you know inside, you're kind of satisfied with yourself. I'm good. The things that you tell other people about because you feel that if they know that I don't do that, or if they know that I always do this, they'll think I'm good because that's why I think I'm good. What is that for you? What are the things that you... Here's a way to find out. What are the things that you... And they might not even be moral things. They might just be like lifestyle choices, the way you eat or the way you dress. Or what are the things that you judge other people on when they don't do them? They're very likely the things that I judge you on are the things that I look to in myself to say, when I do that or I don't do that, that makes me good or that makes me bad. They can be good or bad things in and of themselves, or they can just be our preferences. What makes you feel like you're a good person, and what do you judge other people on? I'll tell you, it's hard for me to talk about what the things that I base my goodness on today. That's really personal, and you know, I know and love you guys, but it's early in the morning. Let me tell you about one that was like from a long time ago. Growing up, one of the things that I based my goodness on that just proved that I was a good person was I didn't smoke. And I look down on people who smoked. No offense if you smoke. This is from a long time ago. This is where I was then. And I looked down on people who smoked, and I thought they were kind of, well, you know, dirty and trashy and just kind of bad people. And I didn't smoke. I was never going to smoke. And so that made me good. And it sounds silly to say, but that's the way I felt for a long time until I became a pack and a half a day smoker. Kind of change that whole paradigm in my mind. What do you base right now your goodness on? The things you do and don't do. By the way, I'm not a pack and a half a day smoker anymore. This was a long time ago. Okay, we can go on. We judge. See, why did I have to make that little distinction right then? Why did I have to give a little caveat? Because we judge each other on the good things and the bad things that we do. And I judge you on my list, and you judge me on your list, and we all have different lists. Some of the things coincide. We judge each other. We judge ourselves. Have you ever met somebody who's harder on themselves than anybody else would ever be on them? And we know God. We know God is going to judge us based on what we do. So when we can't, you know, do the good things we know we should do and not do the bad things we know we shouldn't do, when we can't meet our own list, much less God's list, then what do? Well, we try to at least look good. If I can't be good, then, I'm going to try to look good. I'm going to hide, and I'm going to justify, and I'm not going to show you the real me, because at least if on the outside I can look good, then that makes me feel like maybe I'm not as bad as I know I am on the inside. And in Galatians 2, verse 15, where we're going to read today, Paul tackles this question of what can make you good? What can make you and I good or good people, justified, good people. Let's read verse 15 and 16. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Let's unpack that for a little bit. When he talks about being justified before God, he's talking about being, what is justified? It's being acceptable. It's being just. It's being good, not just good enough, it's being perfect in the eyes of God. What makes us acceptable before God? What makes us worthy in the eyes of God? That's what he's talking about. And then he presents two options. He says works or faith in Christ. There's two ways that Paul puts forward that he thinks there's two different ways that we can be justified, that we can be worthy, that I can say I know that I'm good, both for myself, no matter what you think about me, I know that I'm good, and I know that God knows that I'm good. It's either by my works or it's by faith in Christ. It's through Christ's works. And as we'll see as we go through this, he says it can't be, and even in this verse, he's talking about one or the other. He's saying it's this or it's this. It's not an either or, a little bit of each. It's one or the other. And then he says, and remember, by instinct, I assume that my good things that I do make me good. And the bad things that I do make me bad. That's what I do makes me good or bad. And Paul says our good works can't make us right before God, can't justify us, cannot make us good. So we, by instinct, operate under a false assumption when we think that by doing enough good and not doing enough bad, that we will be good people and we will be acceptable to God. That's what he's saying in verse 16, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Our good works can't make us acceptable to God. Why? Well, think logically through it, because one, it's never enough. Have you ever gone through a day and done everything you knew you should do and not done anything you shouldn't do? Because it's not enough. We're never perfect. We never have even one perfect day, much less a perfect week or month or year or life. And no matter how good I am, if I could be perfect from this point into the future, that doesn't do anything to address all the bad stuff I did in the past. I can't undo that by being good now. Doing what I'm supposed to do today doesn't undo me doing what I wasn't supposed to do yesterday. So our good works can never make us right before God. In fact, what they produce is either condemnation or pride. When I base who I am and how good I am on what I do, I will either always feel condemned because I'm honest with myself and I know that I don't do enough and I'm not the person I should be, or I'll feel prideful because I start deceiving myself into thinking, I look at all the good that I do and I just ignore the bad, and so I start feeling like I'm a pretty good person. Either way, that doesn't make me acceptable before God, and it leads to a life of always feeling like there's more that I have to be doing, that if I could just do more, I would be acceptable. If I could just stop doing that, if I could just be just a little bit nicer to my kids, to my wife, to my friends, if I could just be a better person, not just on the outside, but then I would be acceptable. And it makes me judge other people. That's why our good works will never make us right before God. When we base what we, who we are on what we do, it makes us even worse people. And the idea that Paul is putting forward in this passage is that only through Christ can we be made perfect. Only through Christ can we be made perfect. Read verse 16 again. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified. That's made perfect in the eyes of God through faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. He's asking and answering the question that we started with today. Why are you good? What makes you be good? And he takes us directly to the answer. He says it's because of faith, because of trusting in Christ, because of Jesus. Only through Jesus can we be made acceptable before the Father. Only through Christ do we receive His perfect life instead of our imperfect life. Oh, only through Christ do we receive His forgiveness. Only by entering into Him through trusting in Him do we receive His life and death and the power of His resurrection. Oh, only by putting our trust in Christ can we be made acceptable to the Father. And that is the big idea of this whole letter. That verse is the big idea of the reason that Paul is writing this letter of Galatians. This is the reason why he was told all the stories up until now. And it's the reason he's going to keep driving this point home throughout the rest of the letter and talking about what this means in practical terms and how to live this big idea out. Only through Christ can we be made perfect before the Father. That is the reason why he talked about what it means at the very beginning of the letter, what it means to be made perfect in Christ. And that's why he tells these stories about how he preached that message and how other people tried to bring good works in and being justified by good works into, and how he confronted that, and how he went to the church in Jerusalem to make sure that what he was teaching about being made justified by faith in Christ was actually the truth. It is the reason why he told the story about not letting Titus be circumcised, and the reason why he told about the confrontation with Peter, because he's building up to this. Only through Christ can we be made perfect before the Father. And what he's saying here, but through faith in Christ Jesus, so we who have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, he's saying that by putting our trust in Christ, we can be made perfect through His life and death and resurrection, independent of how much or how little we deserve to be made perfect before the Father. That's the point of verse 15. You read it the way he was talking. He was talking to him and Peter and Jewish people hearing this, and then Gentiles in Galatia hearing this. He says, "We ourselves, him and Peter and the people from Jerusalem, are Jews by birth, the people of God, the people who were part of God's family, and not Gentile sinners." And you know, the Galatian people were listening to this going, "Yeah, that's us, the Gentile sinners." And then he goes on and says, "But that's not what makes us good before the Father, no matter how good or bad of a person you or I have been. That is not what is the basis of how much we deserve or don't deserve to be accepted by God. It's never enough," is what he says in verse 16, "and it's only through faith in Christ that we can be made acceptable to the Father." And then in verse 17, he answers one of the biggest questions that comes up when you say it's not because of what we do, it's because of trusting in Christ that we can be made perfect before the Father. Then the biggest questions that is raised up is, wait, so that means I can do whatever I want and God's good with that? That's almost like Jesus is like, you know, the person out, you know, behind the scenes facilitating my sin. He's making it all good so I can go and just live however I want. If you read verse 16 and say, so it's not because of what you do, it's because of what Christ did, it's by putting your faith in Him that you'll be made perfect before the Father, then what's going to happen? As soon as we say amen today, we're all going to race out the door and race for the nearest whatever the bad thing is that we would all want to do, and we're all going to just go, "Woohoo, I can do that." And that means that, like, what the message of the gospel is really just making us sin more. So read verse 17, see if you see that in this. "But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too are found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not." Saying if believing that I'm justified by Christ and not by my good works produces a reaction in me to say, "Hey, I can do whatever I want," does that mean that Christ is kind of opening the door to me sinning and taking away the moral restrictions that I felt before, and now I can do whatever I want? So Jesus is kind of like serving. He's helping me sin. He says, "No, that's not it. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor." He's saying, "I'm responsible. If I abandon Christ, if I instead of being drawn to the Father through the Son, if I hear about, okay, I can be made perfect before God and be in a right relationship with God through Jesus, and instead of entering into that relationship, that somehow makes me say, I'm going to do whatever I want and it'll be okay. Paul says, no, it won't. You're not coming to the Father. You're not responding in the way that someone who hears the message of the gospel should respond. You are a sinner. You're a transgressor. You've wandered away from God. Look at what he says in verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law. So just take that phrase. He's going to talk later about how the law itself, the obligations that God says, here's what I expect from you, that it can never make us, and we'll look at this later on in the book, but he says that can never make us perfect. And in fact, its only in purpose is to show us our need for Christ. It's to show us our failings. It's to show us that we need Christ. So if through knowing God's expectations, I realize trying to be justified by fulfilling that doesn't work, so I die to trying to be justified by my good works, and I do what he says in verse 16. I turn and I put my trust in Christ, and I say, I'm justified before the Father through the good works of Christ, not through my good works, no matter how good they are. So if I die to the law, so that I might live to God. He's saying what the appropriate reaction to the message of grace is. The appropriate reaction, when you and I hear the message of, I can be acceptable in the eyes of the Father, not because of my good works, the appropriate reaction to that isn't, I can do whatever I want. And what I want to do is all this bad stuff that I felt like I couldn't do before. He's saying, I died to that, to being justified by my good works, so that I might live to God. The appropriate reaction when God breaks through in our hearts with the message of, you can be perfect in my eyes, through faith, putting your trust in my Son and receiving his life and his death in your place, true substitution for you, the appropriate reaction to that becomes, I want to live for God. I want to serve God. Not because I have to. Not because my goodness depends on it. My goodness depends on Christ. But now that I am God's child and I'm not bound by guilt and pride and condemnation and obligation, now I'm free not to rebel against my Father. I'm free to live as a beloved child of my Father. Look at verse 20 then. Here he talks about how we can find our goodness or our justification before the Father, our perfection before God in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you read verse 16, and skip over the objections and his answers to the objections, and then read 16 and then read 20. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ. So we also have believed in Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one can be justified. And then jump down to verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's saying how it is that we can find our justification before the Father, how we can stand before the Father as beloved and accepted children of God through Christ. Look at what he says. I've been crucified with Christ. He's talking about how, and everything he's going to say that we receive in Christ, none of that can be received by us trying to fulfill a list of good works and to be the good people we know we should be. We can only find this in Christ. So when we come to Christ and we repent and are baptized and we give ourselves to him, we die. Every time that we baptize someone, one way or another, we talk about whether it's Romans 6 or John 3, we talk about how we die and God makes us new. And when we decide to follow Jesus, God kills us. So Christ died. He's talking about Christ's death. And you look at, I've been crucified with Christ. So Christ was, he's quoting Christ's crucifixion. Christ died. And look at the end of verse 20, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he ties it back to the crucifixion of Christ. Jesus lived a perfect life and died a death in our place because he loved us. He paid the sacrifice for the price of our rebellion against the Father. And in Christ, we receive his sacrifice for our sin. That's why we can be justified before God, because of putting our confidence in Christ. And then when we enter into Christ, we are crucified. We die. It looks like the same person goes in the water and comes out of the water, but actually it's a different person who comes out, because the old person is dead. And even when the new person lives like the old person, that's the new person forgetting that it's a new person and living like the old person. And Paul says, put that to death. Be putting that to death. Put to death the old person. But the old person is already dead. So we're killing something that's already dead. We're crucified with Christ. We die. See, no matter how much good I do and how much bad I force myself to stay away from, I can't kill myself. That only happens when I put my trust in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I think there he's referencing the new birth. We're born again. We're born of water and the Spirit. We become new people. So Christ who lives, and Christ who lives in me, he's also talking about the Holy Spirit of God who lives in followers of Christ. None of that can be obtained through my good works. No matter how much I try to be a good person, and no matter how many years I didn't smoke, it didn't make me a new person. And it sure didn't put God's Spirit inside of me. That's only something that I receive through putting my trust in Christ. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So even as I'm living in this flesh as a new person on the inside, but I still have so much of my old nature on the outside, I live by faith in the Son of God. What is he saying? He's saying that's Christ's perfect life that justifies me before the Father. So when the Father looks at me, even as I'm walking around in this flesh suit, and many times my old nature comes out, I still can trust in Christ, in that I am seen through the Father's eyes, covered with the Son, and in the Father's eyes, I'm perfect because I am in Christ, because he loved me and he gave himself for me. That's why we can be perfect or justified before the Father, by trusting in the Son. And then look at verse 21. So then he gives an application to this little mini sermon. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness, or being right before God, being perfect before God, being acceptable to the Father, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. He's saying, hey, don't take the power out of what Christ did. The only reason Christ died, lived a perfect life, and died an undeserved death, is because you and I, no matter how hard we try, can't be good enough. And so then he's telling, in this case, Peter, but then through time, us, when we try to find our goodness in our good works, when I base my goodness and my worth before myself, before other people, and especially before God, on what I do, that I'm taking the power out of what Christ did. Only by completely trusting in Christ for my righteousness, for my perfection before the Father, do I not take the power from his sacrifice, nullify the grace of God, because Christ died, because there is no way that my good works can make me acceptable to the Father. So, if only in Christ can we be made perfect before the Father, what should we do? I think what we should do is we should, what he has said several times through this passage, we should trust in Christ for our perfection. we should trust in Christ for our goodness. We should put our trust in Christ for our good standing before God and not in our good works. Let me break down what I think this looks like. If you're not a Christian, if you've never decided to follow Jesus, and, now listen closely because there's an and on all of these, and you're a good person, you're good with other people, you don't do bad stuff, you pretty much fulfill your list of what you're supposed to do, putting your trust in Christ for your goodness, it means accepting that before God, all of your good works are as dirty rags. And it's seeking your perfection before the Father through the Son by putting your trust in Him, by repenting and being baptized and entering into Christ and humbling yourself and saying, no matter how good I am, it's not nearly good enough. And only in Christ can I be made perfect before the Father. If you're not a Christian and you know you're bad, you know that you don't behave the way you should, maybe you feel that God wouldn't accept you. Or maybe you feel that if you became a Christian, you could never stop being bad. Because you know yourself. You've lived long enough to know that no matter how hard you try, you can't stop being bad. Then putting your trust in Christ for your goodness before the Father means accepting that by entering into Jesus, you will become the perfection of God. And in seeking your perfection before God means deciding to put your trust in Christ. And trust no matter how bad you are and have been, that God, when you decide to repent and be baptized and give yourself to Christ, that you will become God's perfection through Jesus, and God will look at you as perfect, and He will accept you. If you are a Christian, if you've repented and been baptized and put your trust in Christ, and right now, you're as you thought about your list, and you thought about being good and bad, and you kind of fall on the good side of things, you know that you kind of, you obey the rules, and you do the rituals, and you don't obey your own rules, you obey the church's rules. You do what you're supposed to do. You behave. You're a good person. Maybe you feel a little superior and proud because of that, and you try not to, and you repent of feeling proud, but, well, you're kind of a good person. Then this morning, what we read would call you to repent of the pride that you and I can't avoid when we are good Christians, and once again accepting the truth that before the Father, my righteousness is like dirty rags. And before the Father, the only reason that I am acceptable and that I am loved, the only reason that God looks at me and says, you are my son and I love you, is because I am in His Son who He loves and who with whom He is well pleased. And this morning, putting your trust in Christ once again is receiving the humility that comes by realizing that no matter how good you and I are, not good enough, not nearly good enough. It's only through Christ. Got one more. You're following along with the little matrix. If you're a Christian and you're bad, and when I talk about being good, you hang your head on the inside because you know you don't feel like you even deserve to be sitting here this morning singing. You're bad. You can't change. You've tried many times. You feel just a weight of condemnation. You can't wait for Sunday because you want to take communion because that just reminds you that you're forgiven, because all week long you feel just this deep condemnation and you know that God is not happy with you. You just live with that. Then you also need to repent of pride. Say, pride? Yeah, pride. Pride is being a Christian and putting your trust in Christ and then removing your trust from Christ and saying, I'm going to be responsible for my goodness before the Father. And the condemnation you feel is because you can't do it. But it's a sign of trying to do something that you're not supposed to be doing. And this morning, putting your trust in Christ is accepting once again that before the Father, in Christ, you are loved and forgiven and accepted. And the Father looks at you and He does not see you. He sees Jesus, and He loves you, and there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And it's receiving the peace and the joy and the self-control that comes by realizing that you are a loved child of the Father. So, what is your next step? you're not a Christian, it's putting your trust in Christ by repenting and being baptized, by deciding to follow him. In this community, you do that by just telling someone. If you are a Christian, it's repenting of putting your trust in your own works and thanking Jesus that before the Father, you are loved and accepted. What do you need to do this morning in response to this message? Why don't we stand together? We'll pray and then we'll sing. God, we come to you right now and we thank you. Thank you for reminding us once again of the truth that more than likely we've heard over and over again, but we need to be reminded. Thank you for reminding us that before you, we can stand with confidence if we are in Christ. Remind us, God, that it is not through our goodness that we are acceptable in your eyes. Remind us, Father, that the only appropriate reaction to that, to realizing that again, is not to race out and rebel against you. The only appropriate reaction is to live like beloved children. God, I pray for those here today who have not made the decision to follow you, that you would stir their hearts and pull them to you, and that they would put their trust in you by repenting and being baptized. Thank you for Jesus and the cross. In his name we pray. Amen.